Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 185 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of January 19th, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is self-completing acronym Dan Ryan.
I hate acronyms so much. I really do.
Man, you'd hate my job.
I use them frequently in my own. I'm just like, oh, really?
Another one? I get to edit them and figure out what they all mean and then find out if they should be capitalized. Oh, it's bad times. Anyway.
I have to make up new ones. Oh, it's terrible. I hate it.
With the annual State of the Union address approaching, looming over our heads, Dan and I are going to do our own state of video gaming for the big three. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. I'm just going to say right off the bat that I am eagerly chomping at the bit to talk about the Nintendo announcement, Labo, that just happened 3.5 hours ago as we're recording. But we're going to save that for the second half. So, Dan, what's new with you?
Nothing much. I've been playing Jotun.
Jotun.
Did we talk about that last week?
It's just fun to say.
Jotun. It is fun to say. Yeah. Picked up Jotun, been playing that. Won the World Series a couple times with the Yankees. They're doing well.
That's good.
In the show, I think it's time to up the pitching difficulty, up to the highest level, because I threw back to back perfect games, which is not something that's supposed to happen.
Has it ever actually happened in real?
Oh God,
baseball?
No, not even a little bit. Do you know what a perfect game is?
I do. I just I was curious if anyone had ever actually pulled it off. I know it's not something that happens very often or like it's such a rare thing, but
yes, people have done it. But
baseball is also old, you know.
Yeah. Like
there's been a lot of baseball, so I figured there might be a chance somebody did it at some point in history.
But. Yeah, no, back to back never. People have thrown perfect games. They are incredibly rare. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I threw back-to-back perfect games in the World Series this year. So,
yeah, you might
Colorado Rockies aren't looking so hot this year.
Might want to adjust that old difficulty level.
Yeah, I think it's time to put it up to the tippy top there. But yeah, other than that, there's been this this really interesting. So we talked about it a couple weeks ago, towards the end of the year, where I hated on EA quite a bit for messing up games that have. For lack of a better term, a gambling component to them, things like Battlefront 2, but also PAD. And the new update in Japan just released for PAD, and when the next Godfest rolls around, you will be able to check in-game the percentages for each individual card that is in the Godfest, like what its drop rate is. Now, this is in response to Apple changing their rules, and Apple changed their rules in response to the hullabaloo that was raised over the loot crate fiasco, or the loot boxes. So, I don't know what impact that's going to have, but I do think it's interesting that one of the games that's been around for in terms of mobile gaming anyway, Puzzle and Dragons, this summer will hit its 6th anniversary. Which is a staggeringly long time to consistently be a top grossing game like in the mobile space. So for it now to disclose its rates, I'm not sure how that's going to affect it at all or people's perception of it as far as playing it. But it's a thing that happened and I don't know how I feel about it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't either.
I mean, I don't know. I think ultimately it's good because, like, look, I know going into it, the chances of getting the rarest of the rare cards are, well, rare.
Yeah, I don't say.
I understand that. But to see it, like, will they, you know, And then the questions of, like, accuracy of reporting and, like, is it really, like, when it says it's a 5% drop rate, is it really a 5% drop rate? You know, like, it raises a lot of questions, and I don't...
Yeah, like, is it a 5% of the time you will get this, or is there a 5% chance that you'll get it in every turn kind of a thing, you know what right. I mean?
Well, it's, because, like one of the things that, you know... Like, I've seen some comparables thrown around online where people are like, you know, it's just like baseball cards. Like, when you buy a pack of baseball cards or a pack of Pokemon cards, you know, when all those mothers would come into the stores looking for the Pokemon packs, like, that's gambling to a point, and they're right. The main difference being in that, you know, games like Overwatch and games like Battlefront and Puzzle and Dragons and all the other gacha-style games, at the end of the day, what I purchase, I cannot trade.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if I get an excess of a certain amount of whatever, I can't send it to somebody else. At least not yet. They don't allow you to. So, you know, maybe that's something that'll be coming in the future. I just... Really, I think at the end of the day, fuck EA.
I think that's the safest... I mean, that's the safest statement in the history of mankind.
It really is. Like, them and Comcast can go pound sand.
They really can. If I didn't have so much respect for Activision for just being the oldest third party, they could you know, swim in there,
well,
too. But
yeah. Well.
I still think EA is a... I don't know, man. Really trying to decide who's worse, Activision or EA, is tough, but...
I don't know. Well, and the other thing, like, in happier news, I was able to, once they actually got their shit together, play a little bit of Dragon Ball FighterZ in the open beta. And
I was watching videos a lot today.
It's so good. It's so fun. Awesome. It's so fun to play, like... I mean, I played a bunch of online matches and got my ass handed to me a bunch, but then, like, once I started figuring out, like, the teleportation strikes and whatnot, it was like, oh, okay, I get, like, all right, this is good. This is really good. It's really fun.
It's so cool, like, even just watching videos. I was watching a video today, and somebody's team was, like, Krillin, Gohan, and Hit. And they were fighting on Earth, and I'm like, man, this is, like, so weird seeing Hit fighting Majin Buu in daylight. It's just... I love it.
It's weird, but it played beautifully. Like, it's going to be one of those games that what they've done a really nice job of is they've really hit a balance of, like, there is a deep game there, but you don't need to get to that level to enjoy it. You know, this is a game that like casual fighting game fans or casual Dragon Ball Z fans can pick up and play, but there's also a really deep strategic fighting game in there as well. It was great.
I really, really want it in my life.
Well, yeah, you really do. Like, you really do. Yeah, you need this in your life. Like, this, I am 100% confident that if you were to play this, like, have a controller in your hands, this would be the thing that you would be like, all right, I don't care how it happens, I'm getting one. This would be the thing that would push you over the edge.
I mean, I've resigned myself to, I have to get one. It's just a matter of, where do I find $300 that I can part with for it?
This would make you find that $300. Like, you'd be like, all right, I'm selling this, and I don't need a toe, and pick a kid, because one of them's going. Which one sucks the least?
Well, I'm still holding out hope that FighterZ will come out on a Switch. I mean, they released the specs for what PCs will need to run this game, and it seems like it's pretty, should be fine. Porting this to Switch shouldn't be a problem, so.
I would imagine they would have announced it by now, unless they're going to hold off for some sort of, like, ultimate DLC, like, everything is included.
Well, edition. Looking at the way they're doing what they're doing right now, with they're doing this whole beta thing, like,
yeah.
Nintendo's online network isn't really set yet, and they're still beta testing the network, which is something they want to be a big part of this, you know, and they already said that, you know, they didn't, this game started development before Switch dev kits were out there. So right. I wouldn't be surprised if this does come to Switch, if it is successful, which really at this point it's kind of hard to imagine it won't be.
Yeah, it's going to be.
It's just probably going to be a while, which I don't mind waiting for, especially if they do some sort of like crazy fancy DLC pack. I don't mind waiting for. I have plenty to play. And just fingers crossed that it does actually happen, and I would be surprised if it didn't.
Yeah, I really would be shocked. The crossover appeal seems to be, you know, like Nintendo and Dragon Ball fans. Well, we talked about it.
Like, yeah, I mean, if freaking Xenoverse can sell a ton of copies and it's already old, then...
And not great.
Yeah. And not great. Then I cannot imagine a world where this game wouldn't sell super well on Switch.
Yeah, no, it was awesome, and I really enjoyed my time with it, so...
Well, to get back to my previous segue, speaking of fighting games, my son asked me to play ARMS a couple days ago, and I hadn't played it in since they did the DLC characters, and I wound up playing a bunch of matches with Misango, who is his arms are braids, which I just love how they came up with different things for everyone's arms to be made of, but... I was having a really good time with him. He's a really fun character. He's got this little floating thing that... just kind of hangs out near him that you can charge up, and then it'll give you like electric attributes or like freezy attributes or something, I think.
That's cool.
It does something to do with its colors, but every time I pick up this game, I don't play it a ton, but whenever I do, I have so much fun with it. It's a really, really cool game.
It looks like something that I would definitely get into and want to play, but not like I'm looking on Amazon right now, not at $55.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little light on single player content for a full priced game. We're not talking Street Fighter V here. Like, it is a full game. It is a full fighting game. It's got single player stuff that you can do. It's got a ton of different modes. It is a fully featured fighting game. And, you know, that just is what it is. But I still, even still at $60, I've always felt that fighting games, unless you have an active community of people you're playing it with.
Right.
Especially in the same room, like online is one thing, but fighting games to me are always best one-on-one, like in person.
Oh yeah, and 100%.
If you don't have that, it's kind of a hard sell. I wanted to buy it because it was a new Nintendo IP. I thought it looked fun, and I'm glad I spent the time with it. Speaking of
$30, I think I'll pick it up.
Yeah, I think you'll have some fun with it because you do like fighting games, and this game it's such a unique fighter. I mean, we've talked about it before, but it really is like you just kind of. It feels so foreign at first, and then you just kind of slip into a groove, and you're like, okay, I get what I'm doing. I can do this. I can figure out how to block things and dodge things. And, you know, watching high-level play of this game is nuts, too. Like, some people's reaction time is so much better than mine.
Well, and it also looks like one of those things that that would be really fun to play with the kids. Because because there's such a, like, a chaotic nature to the game. Especially at the beginning, like if everybody's just kind of flailing around, that's fine, you know.
Yeah, that's I will say the motion controls are fun, but I always play with the, you know, standard controls because I am trying to be good at the game,
right?
And even with the motion controls, I know there's a lot of like real high level play that happens with the motion controls because you have a better handle on the turning, like the bending of your arms and stuff with the motion controls,
right.
But I am not good enough at the game for that. So, I can imagine that being a lot of fun with the little ones flailing their arms around, fighting each other. That would be a hoot.
A hoot nanny.
I did also play some my first time playing multiplayer like in the same room couch multiplayer of Rocket League.
Nice.
We had a party and a friend of mine was there and. John, my son, was kind of getting kind of bored because nobody had showed up with other kids yet.
Yeah.
And so I said, hey, do you want to play some games with us? And he suggested Rocket League, and my friend Greg was there. And I was like, you ever played Rocket League? He's like, no, but I've always wanted to. So I gave him a controller, gave him the basics, and we were playing multiplayer split screen, and it was so much fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to apologize now on the show, but I didn't want to bring the plague to your house.
I figured as much. You had mentioned that, you know, Tiff had been sick, so the most fun, the biggest thing that I've been doing is playing a lot more Doom. Yeah. I'm officially past the halfway point, and when I was going to talk about this before I played even more, I got stuck on this one part. I came across my first Baron of Hell.
Okay.
Which, if you remember the Barons of Hell, they were the pink Minotaur-looking dudes, but only on two legs, and they came out with, like, and they were the final bosses of the first chapter of the original Doom, knee-deep in the dead. So I figured, I had no idea where I was at this point. I was like, wow, he's big. I wonder how close to the end I am. And he killed the crap out of me because they're way faster in this version than they were in the old game.
Yeah.
They jump around a lot, and they're very brutal. But I wound up killing him, and then I fought a few more of them afterwards. It's like, oh, good. They're just jumping right into these guys just being here. Okay. So I've gotten pretty good at fighting them. I pull out my biggest guns for that. Oh, God, I got the chain gun.
Nice.
I was just thinking to myself the other day, like, man, the chain gun was like the third weapon you got in the original game. I kind of missed the chain gun. And when I found it, oh, my God, it's so wonderful. It's so loud and so powerful, and it's just a delight. But my favorite thing that happened, though, was so there are these guys that kind of jump all over the place and charge at you a lot, just like lots of melee attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they were this game's version of the pink demon things, you know, the bulldog look things that just ran up to you.
Yeah.
I was wrong. The pinky things are actually in this game, and they're amazing. They just run at you with their mouths open, and like, they're stupid as hell. So like, they miss all the time. They just run at you, and you just sidestep, and they run into walls and shit. But God help you if they catch you, they will F you up. Oh, God. So I fought the Barons of Hell. I ran into some pinkies, and I was super excited, and I wondered how far into the game I was, and I just did a real quick look online at the chapters, and I'm just past the halfway point, which makes me... Considering how much more terrifying the Barons of Hell were,
right.
I don't know if I'm going to see the Cyber Demon and the Spider Demon, because
I don't know.
If I do, I'm genuinely terrified, because the Spider Demon never really intimidated me much in the original game. He was the last boss.
Sure.
But I mean, like, he had a chain gun that basically shot shotgun shells, and yes, that's like super powerful and whatnot, but the Cyber Demon was like 30 feet tall and shot rockets at you. The Cyber Demon was like the serious business. So if this game has Cyber Demon in it, I'm going to be really excited. No listeners or anyone spoil this for me. I'm super excited. I'm getting there on Odyssey. I only have 80 more moons to get until I hit the 500 mark, which is where something else happens with the Odyssey itself. And I think that's where I'm going to call it quits. I'm not going to go for all 900.
There's at least 900. Oh my God.
Yeah, there's 900 moons. I'm not going to go for it, at least not like actively. I think that's when I'm going to be able to say, all right, I can stop playing this and move on to Yooka-Laylee, because that's when I'll feel that I've done what I need to do with the game, because John's still going to want me to play it. So,
oh, of course,
I'll always go back and just keep scouring the place for more moons until I find them all. But it's one of those long-term things.
Right.
So I'm going to try to finish Doom before Bayonetta comes out in February. I'm going to finish those 500 moons before I get Yooka-Laylee. But I've officially decided that I'm not going to try to... I was going to beat Spelunker before I downloaded Meat Boy again, because it came out on Switch finally, and I'll buy that as many times as I have to in order to beat it.
Right.
And Spelunker is such a similar kind of game, but I think I'm going to pick up Meat Boy and Celeste when that comes out, just because... You can never have too many of those kinds of games. And Celeste looks amazing.
It really does look really good.
That's coming out on everything, right? Or is it?
Yes, I believe so.
It might be timed exclusive or something, but I think that's going to hit everything at the very, if not at first, then everywhere. But
yeah, that
Celeste looks very, super very cool. Good. I'm really stoked about that one. All right, so shall we get started on our feature topic?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so... We're gonna basically just go down the list of the big three. We're gonna start off with we'll do PlayStation and Xbox and take a break, and then finish up with Nintendo. So let's kick it off with the easy one first and talk about the state of PlayStation. So currently, here we are in the year of our Lord 2018. Sony officially supports, I'm going to say, 1.5 systems, because they do officially support the PlayStation 4 and the Vita.
But do they, though?
They definitely support the PlayStation 4.
That's true.
Let's get the facts out of the way, and then we'll just kind of talk about what's happening. So yeah. PlayStation 4 originally released in November of 2013. There are currently two models on the market, the PS4 Slim and the PS4 Pro. The Slim retails at $299 and the Pro retails for $399, but you can get deals on those. They happen from time to time, yeah. Bundled deals and whatnot. It's currently sitting at about 73 million units worldwide. It is definitely in first place this generation thus far.
And it's really not even close, which is, yeah, I am not very surprised close. By.
I'm not. I mean,
I'm not now, but it came out of the. Sorry, you finish, then we'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk. I mean, but I'm not as surprised. But let's see. There are currently 1,712 games available for the PlayStation 4. 126 of those are exclusives, and then another 424 are console exclusives, as in they're also available on PC, which. Right. For all intents and purposes, whatever. There are currently 97 games scheduled for release in 2018, so good job, PlayStation. And they seem to be currently very focused on VR. Their other platform is the Vita, originally released in December of 2011 in Japan and February 2012 in the U.S. It was revised in 2014 as a slightly slimmer model for $199. Blah blah blah. It's currently sitting at 15.86 million units worldwide, which is considerably fewer than the PlayStation 4.
Considerably.
They did release the PlayStation TV, which was a version of the Vita that just played on your television. That came out in 2013 in Japan, October 2014 in the US, but it was discontinued in 2015. This number surprised me. There are currently 1,502 games available on the PlayStation Vita. Which,
yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of Vita games out there. I wasn't able to find an easy way to figure out which ones were exclusives to right. the platform, but considering that it is such a unique platform, it's safe to say, similar to the DS, that most of its games are somewhat exclusive.
Somewhat.
And there are currently 14 games scheduled for release on the platform in 2018.
That's less than I expected.
It's, you know what, that's more than I expected. But then again, those are, I believe they're all third party. I don't think Sony's right. publishing anything for it.
I don't think they are. I'm pretty sure.
So, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that PlayStation, you know, Sony executives are happy with the PlayStation brand, or at least they should be. And I think most people who have PlayStations are happy.
I haven't had one thing to really complain about with this console generation. Really, and I'm including the Vita and the PlayStation TV because I own those things as well. I'm including that in there. It makes me very sad that the PlayStation TV did not do as well as it should have. I don't know why it didn't, but getting to play some of those games up on the television was awesome. And, like, I used it a lot for, like, cheaping out on stuff of, like, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed was a PS Plus game for the Vita at some point, but not the other versions. So I got a PlayStation TV, and yes, it was. Because now it was up on my television. You know,
I think,
and
the reason
I love that game, and it's a great game.
I think the reason the TV didn't do well is because it just kind of didn't really... It was essentially competing with the PlayStation 4. It was like, well, this is a different home console... that plays slightly cheaper games on your television, but you already have a PlayStation 4. So it's like, I don't know. It was a kind of a weird thing. Like, in theory, I understood that it was a Vita and you could play those games on the television, but I feel like some sort of accessory for the Vita or some way to make the Vita just display on the television without it being its own standalone system would have been a smarter call.
Yeah.
Because, well,
and honestly, I think the thing that killed it was that they, I believe, now, because I got mine way later than, I just got mine last year. or 2 years ago now? Something like, I don't remember. I got it after 2015. I believe at some point it had Netflix support, but that was taken out.
Ooh.
So you had this thing hooked up to your TV... that could not play Netflix. And at that point, why have it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess because Netflix is on everything else, but...
But still, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do know what you mean. Like, I don't know why I'm so pissed that I can't use Netflix on the Switch, because I have... It's on everything else I own. Like,
it's
I can
on literally everything else.
I have no limitations on watching Netflix on any screen in my house, I guess, except for the Switch itself. But
it doesn't make any sense. But I mean, so outside of that, which I still think it's a cool thing to have, like, and if you see one for cheap, get it. It's kind of cool.
I would really like to.
I think I got mine for like $40.
That's not a lot of dollars.
That's not, like, in the big picture, it's not a lot of money for what it can do. It's pretty awesome. Outside of that, the PS4 Pro is on its way to going down, like, as my favorite system so far. And it had been, like, because I waffle between, like, Super Nintendo and PS2. Right now it's between Super Nintendo and PS4. I think PS4 is starting to edge it out. Like, it's really going to depend on this year, especially with the rumors that God of War is going to come out in March.
Ooh, that would be nuts.
That would be insane, but there's some credence to the rumor because we're already starting to see what the collector's editions are going to include and like that sort of stuff. And they don't announce that stuff until the game is close to done. Right. Because they have to tack on there, like in the collector's edition of like, you can get this skin and this armor and this fucking weapon and this pair of shoes and, you know, this monocle. And like, it's just all this weird, you know, but like they don't announce that stuff till the game's pretty close to release. So a March release date for God of War would be insane because nobody's expecting it yet. But with the games that we talked about last week with the giant preview show, I mean, Sony is looking very strong this year.
You know what? And the other thing that I think is really cool is that Sony is not just looking strong this year, but the PlayStation 4 doesn't look like it's not aging. Like, it's not showing its age, really, especially not with the PS4 Pro just having come out. I think they really did extend how long this is going to be around. Like, I don't think there's going to be a PlayStation 5 anytime soon, and I don't think that's a problem. In fact, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, no, I think it's great.
That means that if they can keep this current generation cooking for another, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, then that would be great because the prices are only going to continue to drop. Yeah. And then you've got just this amazingly powerful system that does all these things so incredibly well. And the games are only going to get better looking, like this PS4 Pro kind of iteration, but still being able to have that slight kind of PC aspect where you can play, you know, less taxing versions of the games on your regular PS4 for less money. That's great.
It's
That's
awesome.
Really cool.
And I really like the option that's given to you. You know, most games that support the Pro, you know, really any game that's released now, but older games that had a patch that that you could download gives you an option of playing like with a smoother frame rate or higher graphical qualities. So depending
yeah,
on the game that you're playing, it's really it like. You have a choice to make, but you know, playing something like Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider with a smoother frame rate is like, it's fucking life changing, you know?
You know what's crazy about that kind of thing? Freaking Fire Emblem Warriors for Switch gives you that option.
That's pretty cool.
Like, and it's the only game, as far as I know so far, that does it. I haven't played it, but every time I hear somebody talk about it, like, I can't believe that's a thing. And that's awesome that most games should give you the opportunity to do that. Like, I know, like, Red Button is the company that ported both Rocket League and Doom to Switch. Mm-hmm. And they do this thing where it's all kind of dynamically happening as you're playing the game, which is kind of weird. Sometimes you can see the textures changing and getting sharper. Uh-huh. It's only jarring for like the first two times you see it, but it's like having the option like that with your PlayStation to be able to say like, nah, frame rate's more important to me than fidelity,
right.
And be able to just say, put the power towards that. That's awesome. And I think I love seeing more of that. Now, you had said something before, earlier that you said you were surprised that the system had sold so many units. Why do you think that's surprising?
It just surprises me because the PlayStation 3, while it did end up a very good system at the end, it took a long time for that system to get great and to be worth the money, really.
Agreed.
But I get, maybe it's not, I might not be so surprised that it's 73 million units worldwide, but that it's that much that quickly. I mean, like, we're only talking about 4 years at this point. You know, we're 4 years and 2 months and 73 million units sold. When there is an Xbox as well, like, the disparity between the two is staggering, honestly.
Yes, that is true. But when you also take into consideration that, you know, that the what the Xbox is offering, a lot of people don't seem all that interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And what Nintendo was offering wasn't really eating into their profits either. This was kind of, for the most part, people's only option with a game console. So
for like a video game console.
Yeah, if you want a on your TV high-tech video game console, this was kind of the main choice. And I, you know, it makes sense to me. I'm trying to pull up the VG charts that showed the lifetime sales of all the, you know, all consoles, but for some reason it's not loading because I don't know, the internet hates me. But
yeah, the PlayStation 3, I'm looking at it right now. The PlayStation 3 is at 83.3 million lifetime. So we are 10 million away from that 4 years into this system's existence.
I think it's very possible. I think it's incredibly possible, especially if they keep cranking out games like they're cranking out. Like, it's not like they don't seem like they're shifting their focus to something else anytime soon.
No, this is,
I think that's very good.
Yeah, no, this is great. This is the foreseeable future for Sony is the PlayStation 4, or at least whatever the next iteration might be. Now, if that's a thing that starts happening like every 2 years, that's going to be pretty shitty. You know, but I mean, cause like, look, I don't think we're ever going to get to a place where we see PlayStation 2 numbers ever again. Like, PlayStation 2 was over 155 million units. Like, I don't know that we're ever getting to that point again, but
I don't either.
I mean, cause like that is an insane number.
Was PS2 the top?
PS2 is the very top. Yeah.
What's behind that?
It's then the DS is at 154. That's not surprising. The Game Boy and the Game Boy Color is lumped together as one thing. Mm-hmm. That's at 118. Then you have the original PlayStation at 102 and the Wii at 101. Those are the only ones to break 100 million.
Mm.
After you then go the 360 was 84 million, and the PS3 was 83.3, or 83.8. Wow, so I thought that was way further away. Yeah.
Huh.
I thought that was much, much further away.
That's interesting.
You know.
We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to the Switch, but its current sell-through rate being like on track to match the Wii, I think is kind of staggering.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much faith I place in that, but we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
So I'd say what grade would you give the PlayStation 4 ecosystem currently? Well, the overall PlayStation ecosystem, because we really didn't talk Vita is Vita. It is what it is. I don't really think there's a lot to say about it. It's a thing that has not officially been discontinued, but it's just kind of there.
I think the PlayStation is looking at a strong B+.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't go so far as to say an A yet, because yes, it is killing it right now, but if God of War sucks and Spider-Man sucks and, you know, The Last of Us 2 sucks, like, all of a sudden.
Yeah, because that's going to happen.
Well, it's certainly a possibility, and the Vita was a flop, and the VR stuff is cool, but let's see where it goes. You know, there's still time for that to like if that becomes the focus, you know, and things are, it doesn't seem to be at that point, like where we had last generation, where like there's a Kinect mode for it. It's like, I don't fucking care, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Clearly. It seems like VR is carving out a very small niche for itself, and
which
I'm
is
okay
exactly
with it existing.
How it should be. Yeah, I can't wait to get be. One. But not
I'm,
yet.
I have no interest. After having played it, it's like, this is neat, but this is not for me.
Yeah.
I just don't, I don't see myself having a lot of fun with it, but yeah. It's a neat thing. I actually will give Sony an A. I think that they are, I think the PlayStation 4 in its current situation is about as good as one could possibly expect it to be. You know, it's not A plus because it hasn't gotten to the point where that system's just like, oh my God, this is so ubiquitous with everything I need. Like, I'm okay without having one. I'm not right. happy about it, but I am surviving without one.
Right.
But I, really, that's not too far away from me. And I love the ecosystem that PlayStation has carved out for itself. I don't think there's any chance of those games that you mentioned being bad, because in the PlayStation 4 era, a lot of first-party Sony stuff, I don't think they're in the business of making crappy games anymore.
They're really not.
Like, I can't think of the last time Sony published a genuinely crappy game that they stood behind. Like, they've put a lot of focus on quality, I think, and right. I think they're doing a very good job of it. They have their own layer of quality, you know what I mean? Like, there's that Nintendo quality that I talk about. I feel that there is a definite PlayStation quality as well. So even when you get stuff that's like Little Big Planet that I don't think is very good, I still appreciate its quality because right. it's doing what it's doing, and I understand the market behind it. So I give Sony an A. I think they're doing just an absolutely stellar job, especially selling this many systems when in Japan in particular, people don't really seem to want to buy a home console. You know what I mean?
Right. Japan is mobile now. Mobile market.
I can't imagine why the Switch is selling so well over there.
Can't imagine. It doesn't make any sense to me.
All right. Let's do this. Let's move on to the state of Xbox. Microsoft currently supports one console, the Xbox One. The Xbox One was released in November of 2013. There are currently two models on the market, as far as I know, the Xbox One S and the Xbox One X, that acronyms itself into Xbox, because I hate them. One S retails for, this was actually kind of hard for me to find a specific MSRP, but I believe the One S, depending on hard drive size, ranges like $249 to $279. Which is cheaper than the PlayStation 4 Slim, but right. the One X is $499,
mm-hmm.
which is more expensive than the PlayStation 4 Pro. Now, granted, the One X is, by all accounts, the most powerful console on the market. So,
sure.
Hooray.
Yeah.
This is a crazy number. They're sitting at 36.14 million units sold. That's half of what the PS4 is sold.
That's half of the PS4, and it released it released what, a year later?
Where were we at? This is November
2013. No, they released in the same year.
Yeah, they were both released about the same time.
So they released in the same time, and they have sold half as many units.
Yeah.
Like, that's great.
That's a spanking right there.
Right. Well, and considering
that's GameCube numbers right there.
It really is. And like, going back to, you know, I mean, if we have younger listeners that don't remember the debacle that was the PlayStation 3 launch.
Yeah, that was
it
rough.
Took a long time for that system to get good. You know,
it did.
It launched at $600 with like Lair, and it was like, yeah. Oh God,
there weren't very many
rumble
good games
in the controller. Like, there was a dearth of enjoyable experiences and no rumble in the controller, and it was $200 more than the next closest system. And it took but it caught up. I mean, 83.8 and 84 million are, you call that a wash. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
No,
so.
that's pretty incredible, especially considering how popular the 360 was at first.
The 360 was great. It was a great system.
It was a great, yeah, it was a very great system. I'm looking at mine right now. It's still connected to my television. It's a great platform.
It had a great controller. And it seems like everything that was good about the 360 was ignored for the Xbox One.
Yeah, I feel like the Xbox One wasn't a great follow-up to the 360, but we're going to get to that in a minute, because I think I finally understand the Xbox One.
Okay.
So there are currently 1,427 games available for the platform, 30 exclusive, and 164 console exclusives. So we're comparing that to PlayStation 4 that has 1,712 games available. That's not a huge difference. But PS4 has 126 and 424 to 30 and 164. That's bananas.
Yeah, I mean that.
And that right there is a big thing for why a lot of folks don't gravitate to this system. Because if you're comparing them just on this straight basis, like, okay, well, what's the sense in me getting this over the other one? It has almost all the same games, except it also has all these other games. So why would I choose the Xbox over the PlayStation? That being said, there are currently 202 games announced for 2018.
Which is nuts.
That's a lot.
That is a ridiculous amount of games. Now, is that including like Xbox Live Arcade stuff? And
yes,
like,
all of these numbers are including, you know, digital shop games as well. So I guess that's not entirely surprising, but still, that's a big number. Good on you guys.
That is a huge number. And there are some really big exclusives that the Xbox One X or the Xbox whatever the fuck we're calling it, that Microsoft has.
Yeah.
Like, they have, you know, whatever that PUBG is.
They have Halo. They have Gears of War. They have, they have Cuphead for now. There's here's what I've come to understand about the Xbox, and this is why I think it has carved out the niche that it has. I don't necessarily think this is a great idea, but I think I get it. I believe the situation is, because we've talked a lot about this, where like the exclusives, like, well, there are no real exclusives on the Xbox because they're all on PC too. Mm-hmm. So why not just get a gaming PC? And that kind of speaks to me, because I'm not a PC gamer. There's just something inherently different about connecting a PC to your television and then sitting on your couch and playing with an Xbox controller, because, you know, it's still your computer. There's still like things like Word, and you have to start up Windows and whatnot.
Yeah.
What the Xbox One seems to want to do is give you the PC gaming experience through the eyes of a console. So you're getting what PC gamers like. You're getting that kind of online community. You're getting that feeling, but you're getting it wrapped up in a console instead of wrapped up in a keyboard and mouse. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's really what this system is doing well. And I think that's why the people who like it so much. And I do get that. I do. But you know, obviously that being said, the Xbox hasn't done anything. So like the PlayStation 4 has sold me. It's literally a matter of finances on the PlayStation.
Right.
The Xbox One, since its inception, has not succeeded in selling me on the console, which really a mainline home console. I can't remember the last time a mainline home console hasn't sold me. You know, I bought the Xbox. I bought the Xbox 360. I bought the PlayStation 1, 2, and 3. I bought all the Nintendo consoles. I mean, really, if there's a console on the market, there's usually at least something on there that I say, "Well, I really want to do that." That's going to make the price worth it for me. And since its inception, the Xbox One has not succeeded in doing that for me. You know, it's come close with stuff like Killer Instinct and Rare Replay, and especially Cuphead. But by and large, the kinds of things that are exclusive to this console, even including the PC stuff, just it does not speak to my sensibilities as a gamer.
Right. I think you're pretty much hitting the nail on the head there of like, this is, for all intents and purposes, the PC console. This is what the Steam Box hoped to be, wanted to be, still wants to, but whatever the fuck is going on with that thing. You know, because I agree, like, the only console of the last number of years that I have not ended up owning is the Xbox One. And there is nothing coming in the pipeline that is going to make me change that. You know?
That is, yeah, that's true.
And just as an aside, it is an ugly system.
Is it?
It is.
I could, you know what? I couldn't pick one out of a lineup. I need to look up a picture of one.
It's a just ugly rectangle. I don't like it. It looks
I
like
think it looks nice.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Let's see. That's
I can't.
The 1S. What does the 1X look like? Oh yeah, it looks nice and white. I dig the black one too.
I can't put my finger on what I don't like about it, but I just. I can put my finger on what I don't like about it. It looks like a fucking PC tower over on its side, and I don't like that. It doesn't look like a game console.
Well, all right, look, I guess I'm probably skewed because now I'm sitting next to my Wii U, and it looks a hell of a lot nicer than that thing.
I liked the Wii U.
I like the Wii U, too.
It was small. It was compact.
Yes, that is true that it's small and compact, but it's like it's also pretty nondescript. And I kind of dig that about this. There's things about it. I really don't see anything wrong with the way the console looks, to be perfectly honest with you.
I don't care for it. And that, like I said, I'm not trying to hate on it for that. I just...
I mean, seriously, I kind of dig the design of this more than the original PS4. The original, do the new ones still have that weird angular thing going on? Yeah, I guess they kind of do.
Yeah, they do.
I don't love that weird kind of angular business of the PlayStation 4. It just kind of looks...
I don't love it, but it looks
I don't need like my systems in italics.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
I kind of like that the Air Xbox One looks relatively sleek. It's not overly stylish, but it looks unassuming. And I don't think it quite looks like a PC tower. You know, it's not as big. It's not as thick. It's just, I don't know. I dig it.
It looks too much like an Apple product to not be an Apple product.
It's not shiny enough to be an Apple product.
That's a good point. It's a very
Apple
good
products
point.
All have reflective surfaces so you can see every fingerprint. Just like my PlayStation 3.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, God.
I have the original PlayStation 3.
The original PlayStation 4 had a shiny-ass section that was dumb.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that. Yeah,
so
true.
Stupid.
You know, I'm sitting next to my 60-gig PS3, backwards compatible with PS2 and PS1 games.
So
and it's
jealous.
Covered in dust. I can't get it clean because of its shiny surface. The dust is kind of, like, stuck to it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I would just really need to polish this thing, and who's got time for that?
Nobody.
God, this system was weird.
It was a weird system.
Original PS3 is insane.
Really is. Anyway, back on topic.
Back on topic.
Yeah, so the Kinect has been discontinued for it. They've given up on that.
Good. That was good.
Yeah.
I applaud them for putting that behind them. And now, similarly, PlayStation Move still exists, but does it still exist? Is that kind of what's powering VR? Or
yes.
Does it have it? Or has it kind of evolved to its own thing?
It's kind of been... enveloped into PlayStation VR. You still use Move controllers for it.
Gotcha. And that makes all the sense, but it doesn't seem like Microsoft is really are they doing anything with VR really with Microsoft?
Well, there was that Minecraft demo.
Well, that's right.
If you remember,
that was working
really
with
cool.
What VR is that working with though?
One of the PC ones, I forget.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Oculus, that was it.
Yeah.
Oculus works with Xbox.
That was very cool, but that seems to have gone away. And you might not know this, but with the discontinuing of the Kinect, did they lose a lot of the like voice features and stuff? Like Xbox On and all that stuff that they were touting at the beginning of the system's life? Like
maybe.
you can snap your fantasy football scores over to the side and like all that dumb shit that they were doing. I don't know if
maybe.
That's still a thing like that. And that I mean,
don't either because that was all dumb shit.
It was dumb shit. And like maybe we're not the right two people to be talking about this. But like that was just not stuff I was interested in as a gamer. And, you know, like we said, for the two of us to look at a system, a console and be like, yeah, there's nothing for me on here. That's that's big.
Like, that, yeah, that does kind of speak volumes. And again, it's not to say that there is nothing on there for us. It's that that stuff is also on PlayStation by and large.
Right. Halo is not enough for me. And I don't even, like, Halo is not even enough for people anymore now that Bungie's not developing it. Like, the last couple of Halo games have not been nearly as well received as the Bungie-developed ones. And Crackdown is not enough for me.
Crackdown is like Kirby, you know, it's not going to sell systems, but Microsoft fans enjoy it.
Yeah, and great. And, you know, there's, what's the zombie game that's on there?
Left 4 Dead? No.
No, not Left 4 Dead. Oh, God. It's not DayZ, that was the online Sony one. Fuck.
It's not Dead Rising, is
it? State of Decay.
State of Decay. State of Decay.
But I can play that
on PC.
You
hear how long it took us to come up with that? There's the problem.
But I can play it on PC if I really wanted to. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just... And it sucks. I really wish there was something on here that made me want it. I really do. Competition is good.
As do I. I wish that there was something out there making me want to spend another $300 on a game system I don't need. And I guess I am kind of fortunate that there's not. But that being said, I do think I said last week that I was going to say nice things about the Xbox, and I am definitely saying that I get it. Like, if I was really into that PC architect, like that PC gaming feel, but I didn't want to do it on PC, because, like, I'm a console gamer. I always have been.
Right, me too.
And if there was enough PC gaming content that I really wanted to experience through a console, I feel like I would lean towards getting the Xbox One over the PlayStation 4, because it seems like that ecosystem that they've created is good for that. So I will say that it does not strike me as a bad system, but it's just a very strange creature, and I don't know how much longer Microsoft should keep it up.
Right, before there's just an Xbox Drive made available for PCs.
Yeah,
exclusive was not available on PC. Xbox is it's covering those niches right now. Like, if you are a racing gamer, Xbox One is the system for you. Forza is better than Gran Turismo. Like, and that's okay that it is. But that's not that big of a market.
Like, yeah, there's definitely, not. You know, if your friends have an Xbox, see, this is something that I've noticed with, you know, some kids, like, their parents got them an Xbox because the commercial for Xbox made it look cool. And they said, oh, this is where I want to play Minecraft. This is where I want to play Roblox on my Xbox. And then, well, my neighbors have Xbox. So all my friends have Xbox. So I got to get an Xbox. So
right.
There is definitely that group of people that where that's the case. And, you know, that's okay. That happens. It's just unfortunate that those people didn't all get PlayStations instead, because then they'd be playing lots of other games too. But that's true.
You still play Minecraft on it.
You sure can.
Play Minecraft on your PS4. I promise.
Play it on your iPhone.
You can play it on your Game Boy. I think there's a version of it right now.
So, overall score for the current state of Xbox. What do you give it, Dan?
God, like, I really don't think anything more than a D is fair. Like, I really don't. And maybe at the end of this year, that'll change depending on the games that come out, but... It's just not good.
I am going to give it a C. And I'm going to give it a C because, similar to, like, I guess the way that I experienced GameCube and Wii U, like, those systems didn't sell extraordinarily well. But the time I spent with it, I really enjoyed. Because I think in the interest of being competitive with the other platforms, the Xbox is struggling a lot. But as a system in and of itself, like, if that was the only system I had, there's plenty of games that I would play for it. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's getting FighterZ. It's got a lot of the games. Like, just because they're also available on PlayStation, you know, they're also available on Xbox. So if that was the system that I had, I feel like it's treating itself and its ecosystem and what it wants to do fairly well. It's just not being very good at being competitive with the PlayStation, which is just mopping the floor with it. So considering that it is not a technically bad system, I got to give it a C because it's just right there in the middle. It's not terrible, but it's not what I would call good either. It's just right there in the middle.
Fair enough.
All right. That concludes our segment on the first two. We're going to take ourselves a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the current state of Nintendo and, you know, that thing that just happened. Yeah. So, you're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around.
First up, look, there are literally a ton of great podcasts here at Geekade, and you should subscribe to each and every single one of them, but we simply cannot do everything, though we try. Luckily, we have Dave DiOrio to check out podcasts from other sources and report back on which ones are worth your time. This month, he recommends Heaven's Gate from Stitcher, a deep dive into the UFO religious cult that caused a mass suicide in the late 90s. It's insane. Check out what makes this podcast so fascinating in Budsworthy, Jesus on a Spaceship.
Boy, that was a time, huh?
Jesus Christ. What a bunch of idiots. I mean, come on. Come on. I am your leader, Bo. This is my helper, Beep. Are you fucking serious? Come out. I'm out of your cult. You can't come out with your names as Bo and Beep. Come on. God damn it. Try harder.
Next, remember the intoxicating magic of the Scholastic Book Fair?
I really do. It was so good.
I do too. It was awesome. So many possibilities for young readers of all stripes. It was there that Geekade's Gabby Robbins discovered the subject of her latest reread. Part of a series that couched historical fact with an approachable narrative style, this month's selection gives us a look at the young life of one of history's most famous women. Find out how much of this young adult title is relevant today in Gabby Rereads The Royal Diaries, Cleopatra 7.
Cleopatra 1 through 6 were shit.
Seriously. Cleopatra. One of those situations where the sequel was definitely better.
Definitely better.
She is definitely the Final Fantasy VII of Cleopatra's.
There's your episode title. Crackdown is like Kirby is good, but she was the Final Fantasy VII of Cleopatra's. That's fantastic. All right. Finally, if a year were a video game, this month would be, well, level one. And any good video game, as well as any good year, should kick things off with a really great song. So, what better time than now to check out some of the best level 1 songs from video game soundtracks? Luckily, you can find out which tracks made the list, including one that's featured in heavy rotation around the Randazzo house lately, if you tune in to the Waveback Music Podcast, Episode 49, New Year's Special.
One.
Sorry,
we're
that wasn't
do it
one.
Again next year.
I thought that was a typo. You probably should have put a number one instead of an I.
I always do Roman numerals.
Cause you fancy though.
I am fancy. In case you're wondering, the game is Overcooked. We used the level on music to Overcooked, and we have still been playing Overcooked around here.
All right.
Cause it's awesome. You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at the all new Geekade.com.
All new.
And we're back. So now it's time to talk about Nintendo. the current state of Nintendo. Nintendo currently supports both the Switch and the Nintendo 3DS. Wii U was officially discontinued back in January of last year, actually, even though there were still games being released for it, obviously, up until this year, like, you know, Just Dance and Breath of the Wild. What's that?
And FIFA, I'm sure.
And probably somewhere in Europe there was a FIFA game. It sold a whopping 13.56 million units worldwide, lifetime.
Ouch.
Ouch.
The Switch,
ow,
as a counterpoint, has sold that much in its first year.
Not even. It hasn't even been on the market for a year yet. And in most territories, it has surpassed the Wii U's lifetime sales.
Nuts.
Bananas. There were a total of 745 games released for it. 318 of those were exclusive, 93 additional console exclusives. Boy.
That's a lot of Mario parties.
91 of those were Mario Party.
God, it fucking feels like it.
Conversely, back to relevant stuff, the Nintendo Switch released in March of 2017 for $299. It has already sold through 12.19 units worldwide. There are 619
million.
Million units, yes.
Yeah, 12.19 is not an impressive number.
No, really not. Well, I mean, it is. How do you sell 0.19 systems?
It's sold two and a bit a month.
Just a couple of Joy-Cons.
Yeah, just a couple of Joy-Cons. Somebody just bought one.
Used. This is also kind of crazy. The Wii U, in its lifetime, had 745 games. The Switch is already up to 628.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I might be... these numbers might be wrong in some way, shape, or form. I don't think they were, but I was kind of in a rush earlier today when I was gathering it together. Considering how many eShop games have been released on the system, I guess I wouldn't be totally surprised if this was right. But there was... It still seems weird to me. I think that number's got to be wrong. But anyway, there's currently 63 exclusives and 22 Nintendo exclusives. So Switch is off. We talked about this already. Switch had a very impressive first year, even though it's not even done yet. They also support the Nintendo 3DS. All right. Originally released in March 2011. Currently available, as far as I know, the ones that are still in production are the 3DS XL, the new 3DS, the 2DS, and the new 2DS XL. I might be wrong. I think maybe the original new 3DS is not in circulation, and maybe the 3DS XL aren't anymore. But honestly, the 3DS line is so freaking confusing.
Yeah.
They sell for various prices.
Fucked up.
Yeah, that is like, how do I get a 3DS? I want to get myself a new 3DS. Now, do you mean a new 3DS or a new 3DS? What are you talking about?
Huh. I'm going to go sit in a corner. Give me a Vita.
Sorry, we don't carry those.
We don't carry those. Give me a PSP Go.
Oh, why?
I don't know. Dean posted a picture of it.
He did. There are currently 1,236 games for the platform.
And 1,114 of them are exclusive.
Yeah, I mean, because the 3DS is just so darn different from everything else. There wasn't a whole lot of, like, ports going on there. There are only 8 games scheduled for 2018, which, all right, whatever.
Yeah,
3DS, this is the oldest system that we're talking about today.
Right.
Like,
7 years for a handheld, when all of our phones have caught up and surpassed the capabilities of a 3DS at this point.
I mean, the Vita, like, was also released in 2011, but that is basically gone. Like, the 3DS is still kind of thriving. That system's still selling stupid numbers, which is ridiculous.
And comparatively speaking, I mean, the 3DS has outsold... The worst month of the 3DS is probably better than the best month of the Vita.
I mean, let's see. The global hardware title, the 3DS is at 70.2 million, which is almost PS4 numbers there.
Yeah.
Like, that's bananas. That's a lot of systems. It's a lot of 3DSs.
It's a lot of 3DSs.
Any Hoosiers. So, state of Nintendo. I am going to say that I think this is probably the last year for the 3DS. At least I kind of hope it is.
I would have to imagine so.
I would too. There doesn't seem to be a lot coming out for it. And I think it's really time for Nintendo to really consolidate their efforts on Switch. Like it is their new portable and their new home console. Like if it would be dramatically silly of them to try and make it like a successor to the 3DS that isn't the Switch at this point.
Well, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
I mean, now this is Nintendo, and Nintendo does what Nintendo is going to do. So a 4DS is certainly possible.
But it would have to travel in time.
But it would have to, like, it just, because here's the problem that you're going to run into. Like, we've already run into this problem with Samus Returns. Of like, this is good, but I really want to play it on my TV, and I can do every other game portable and on my TV. Why can't I do this one? Oh, because you just decided to put it on this thing that I don't want anymore.
Yeah, well, I think what it is, and I get Nintendo's perspective right now. It's similar to keeping like the PlayStation 2 running while the PlayStation 3 was out. Like,
right.
They're not going to release much more on this platform, and that's fine. And keeping it available as a considerably less expensive option than the Switch is nice. You know, it's a good system for kids. I still think what Nintendo needs to do probably this year or next, or probably next year, is make a version of the Switch that is more durable and kid-friendly and takes away some of the features and make them optional.
Like make a dockless version of the Switch?
Exactly. The dock itself sells for $90.
Which
take
is
out the dock,
insane. It is insane. HDMI cord. It's a fucking $90 HDMI cord.
It's a bit more complex than that from what I've come to understand, but... really, you take that functionality out, you make it so that the Joy-Cons aren't like separatable, you know, they're just kind of built into the system. Right. Obviously, you can still pair it with multiple other Joy-Cons, but, you know, give it a clamshell design, so, you know, it doesn't need to have a second screen, make it like the GBASP, you know, just right. Something that folds in half so it can be thrown around and kicked around as a portable, like, and just make it a more durable, less feature intensive, but still capable of being used for all the things the Switch can do. I think that's a really great direction to go, like as an alternative for Switch owners. Of course, I don't know with what they just announced today, maybe the non-removable Joy-Cons isn't a great idea, but yeah. I don't know how to make the thing so much less expensive, but I do think that's something that they should be looking at. But coming off of, I mean, they just came off of one of the best years Nintendo has ever had.
Oh, yeah, without question.
The Switch's first almost year has been just completely insane.
I mean, especially coming off the Wii U.
Oh my God, yeah.
Which was
talk
nothing
about a 180.
But a disappointment. I mean, no matter what good games or what good memories you had playing that system, and there was a lot of fun to be had on that system. I mean, we've talked about it. There's a lot of good stuff on there. From a business standpoint, and from an industry relevancy standpoint, it mattered not.
Yeah, I mean, just everything. The messaging, the shape of it, the what it was capable of, everything about the Wii U is the Switch. And this is going to be a really fun show. I'm saying it now. When the Switch's one-year anniversary comes out, we're going to do an episode where we look back and talk about how wrong we were after that January event.
No, we were 100% right.
Well, maybe you were, but I was wrong.
You were wrong.
I was very angry about a lot of things, and I'm really looking forward to going back and listening to how wrong I was on several points.
I had to talk you off the ledge.
I was pissed.
You were.
I was really, really pissed at 1-2 Switch, and I'm so glad that game really amounted to basically nothing.
Well, the market really dictated it.
They did, yeah. Nobody bought it.
Nobody
bought
it.
All right,
we're not going to see any more.
This is dumb.
We're not going to see 1-2 Switch 2. Like, that's not happening. Or maybe it will, because Nintendo.
Yeah.
But.
Nintendo's going to Nintendo. But, yeah, so, and this year, they do seem to have some pretty good stuff laid out in front of them. And they're filling in some gaps with some, I think, very smart port ideas. Like, they're putting Tropical Freeze on this thing. I've been saying that for a while.
Yeah, the last Nintendo Direct with announcing Tropical Freeze is a really smart idea, because I do really want to play through that, but I never wanted to touch a Wii U again.
And now you won't have to. And I totally forgot that you wanted to play through this game, but you totally should, because it's awesome. And that funky mode is great for two reasons. One, that game I will play through it in funky mode, because I beat that game already with non-funky mode, right. And I don't think I want to do that again, because it was hard.
Right.
But now I can go through it with a little bit of a nice little difficulty ease. So that makes me very happy. But also, it's so meme-worthy.
It really
that,
is.
That box corner thing, like when Doom's Twitter account posted a screenshot of Doom with funky mode. Laughing my ass off.
Well, and what makes me really happy about it, and I feel somewhat vindicated in my love of TNC Surf Designs, because it feels very TNC Surf Designs.
It does. That is, he is the modern Thrilla Gorilla.
He really is. I'm going to pretend that it is in fact Thrilla Gorilla.
And it won't be too hard, because they both look strikingly similar.
I feel vindicated in my December Bits and Brews post of talking about loving fucking TNC Surf Designs.
They've also got Curb, so the thing that they did last year was they had like a major release once a month for pretty much the whole year. Now, there wasn't a major release for January, which I think was smart, because a lot of people got the system for Christmas. And those people are like, if they got Zelda and Mario, they're probably still playing them.
Right, there's time. And Splatoon.
Maybe even ARMS. Like, there's a lot to do on the Switch currently. So taking a month off, I'm fine with. But February, you've got Bayonetta 1 and 2 coming out. So, hooray. Bayonetta 2 needs to be played by more people, myself included, and I think that's fantastic. That's basically a new game for a lot of people, because that game did not sell very well.
No, it really didn't.
Then in March, you got the new Kirby game. And now in April, we have Labo, which we'll talk about in a second. And then May is Donkey Kong, and then E3.
What we learned from this last Nintendo Direct is that we have no idea what they're going to release this year.
We don't.
Because we just didn't know about Kirby, or at least a release date for it, right?
Yeah, we didn't know that. Coming out in March, that's way sooner than I thought.
We didn't know anything about Tropical Freeze. Mario Tennis.
The Mario Tennis with a story mode.
Nothing about that.
Dark Souls coming out on the system.
Dark Souls. I mean, that's pretty awesome. What was the first one they showed? I can't get Elite Beat Agents out of my head, but that's not what it is. The DS game that they're porting.
Oh, The World Ends With You. I forgot all about that.
Which is a very cool game that more people should have played, and now they will get a chance to on the Switch. Mm-hmm. Like a 10-year anniversary edition of it, which is awesome.
Oh, that's right. And they're Hyrule Warriors. And is Hyrule like Warriors, the definitive edition. I might double dip on that. I don't know.
It depends on the price.
It does. If that comes out at $60, I'm not touching it. But if that comes out at $40, I might give that game another shot, because if it flows the way the 3DS one was supposed to, and that fixes a lot of the original's issues, and like the portability and the speed of the Switch, that's something else I'm really looking forward to with Donkey Kong, because one of my biggest complaints with Donkey Kong is the loading times when initially starting the game and between levels are stupid long.
Yeah.
And if they optimize that stuff like they did for Mario Kart, that's just going to be great. That's going to make that game feel so much better.
Yeah, it's looking good. It's looking really good.
They have and Kimishima, the company president, has said that this year is crucial for the Switch.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah, they're totally right, because this year proves if it was a flash in the pan or if stuff's just going to be genuinely good. And considering what they announced today, I think they have positioned themselves in a really good position. They positioned themselves in a good position. I talk for a living.
That was excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent podcasting there, Chris. Well, let's talk about Labo, because
I am
of two minds, but go ahead and give us a description first.
So I don't even know if I can give this a proper description. They announced this morning that, was it this morning or last night?
It was today.
Said
the 17th.
There's going to be something, there's going to be an announcement for kids and adults who are kids at heart. So this was clearly Nintendo trying to temper expectations,
right?
Because the internet is the internet, and they're like, it's gonna be the new Smash. Oh, it's gonna be Grand Theft Auto 5. Just shut up. Just shut up. They said this is for kids, and they said it's a new way to play, which is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So when I came home, I sat down. It was like 5:15. I waited a little bit. I sat down with my son in front of the TV and said, I want to find out what this new Nintendo thing is. And then I just saw the logo for Labo. I was like, what the hell is this? So I hit play and I started watching it, and I was just, I was like a little kid. And then I looked over at my little kid, whose like eyes are just wide open looking at this thing. So what it is, it's like Lego kits, except it's like cardboard paper craft that works with your Nintendo Switch and its accessories. So you build these very elaborate things that then do things with the Switch, like they play games and whatnot. It showed off this piano thing, which is the one that my son seemed the most excited about. He said after, as soon as it was over, he said, I want to build that piano, because you build a freaking piano. And I was just listening to Game Explains did a whole reaction video on it, and they said that the piano thing is supposed to take like 2 hours to build.
Yeah.
And when you look inside of these things, that was the other cool thing. It's like, so you're not only building these things from scratch, but then you can like take off the panels and really look at the insides of the stuff that you built and how incredibly complicated it is. And I got to say, looking at the internet's reaction to this, it seems to be split very much into two factions. There's people who have children in their lives and people who don't.
Yeah.
Because the people who are pissed at this, like, oh, Nintendo sells a pizza box. Like, this isn't for you.
Yeah, it's not for you at all.
This is not for you. This is for teaching kids engineering.
Yeah.
This is smart. And if it's marketed as well as this initial trailer made me feel, I think this thing's going to do really well. Like, it's kind of genius. And not only that, but because it's cardboard, it's like, it's actually, so, when you think about the Wii and all the Wii accessories that are probably sitting in landfills right now,
yeah,
these hopefully are biodegradable accessories. Like 5 years, you could just recycle these instead of throwing them in the garbage. And it's ridiculous to me. Like this is so crazy. Now they showed off the piano. They showed off the remote control cars, which I think are crazy because they work off the HD Rumble. So you put your Joy-Cons in it, and then the shaking of the Joy-Cons is enough to move the cardboard around and move these little things around on the floor.
I can't imagine that works as well as it looked.
You know what? It might, because the Joy-Cons are so light and the HD Rumble is so powerful.
I don't know. That one I'm pretty skeptical about.
I got my fingers crossed on that. They showed some fishing thing that I don't get. Probably the craziest thing, especially for me as a Nintendo fan, is Project Giant Robot exists.
Yeah.
They showed this off at E3 like, what, 6 years ago or something? Mm-hmm. Like four or five years ago. This was a Wii U thing that Miyamoto was working on. And it's finally resurfaced. But as a thing that you build this incredibly intricate backpack and like things connect to your hands and your feet, it's like VR, except not virtual. Like you just...
Yeah.
You move this robot and you break buildings and UFOs. You can transform into a car. It's so ridiculous.
It's the fucking Interactor.
It's the Interactor, except it works. It's crazy.
Except it works. Like, I saw that and instantly my thought was, all right, I want Rampage and I want Punch-Out. I want Punch-Out Labo. I don't like the name. I get the name. I don't like it.
I dig it.
Nintendo Labo. Like, I just, bleh. I don't like it. I don't like that.
It's so close. Like, I get it. They're like, it's like a combination between Lego and Amiibo. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's,
I get it. I think it's super smart.
I like it.
But I want Punch Out Labo and I want Rampage Labo. And so I also want Excitebike Labo.
They haven't even sniffed, like, tying this in with Nintendo properties yet. Like, this is all just like, and here's a bunch of shit you can do. Right. These are the kits. I love that they're called Toy Cons.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I love that. That is super clever.
Yeah, like, I agree with you 100%. Like, I watched this trailer right before we went on to record, and Penny, my daughter, is going to flip her shit for this. Like, this is a kid who already loves Legos to, like, an astonishing degree and loves to build and create and papercraft and all of that stuff. So to be able to do this and then play a game with it is
That's awesome.
Very cool.
I can't wait to see what people do with, like, you can customize these things, too, to an extent. Like, there's going to be, like, people are going to figure out all kinds of weird stuff. They're selling, like, customization kits for it. Like, obviously, you can use your own markers and stuff, but they're going to do, like, you know, specifically designed stickers and stuff that you can add to it. Like, you can put a Mario nose on your RC car and stuff like that.
Because why not?
And the price is... I guess it's understandable.
What is the price on it? That's the only thing I didn't look at.
There's 70 for the 70 for the one kit, which is all the things except the robot, and 80 for the robot kit.
So 150 for both.
For both. Now I get
that's a lot for cardboard.
I get that it's a lot for. It seems like a lot for cardboard, but have you ever tried to buy cardboard?
Mm-mm.
It's more expensive than you think it is. Go to a UPS store and look at how much boxes are. Oh, well, and those are just boxes.
That's different. They're just...
Is it?
Yeah, they're fucking you because you have to move. And you don't want to go to the liquor store because those boxes are small.
I guess that's fair enough. But, I mean, anything that comes with cardboard, and I'm assuming that this is, like, that kind of hard cardboard, like, yeah, not, like, super soft stuff. But
it certainly has to be to stand up to the rigors of, like, playing with it.
And they also said that there's going to be a program for, you know, getting replacement cardboard pieces and whatnot like that. But really, I mean, you're also getting a game with it. Like, it's not just the cardboard, you're getting a game, which game's $50 to $60.
Yeah.
So, you know, the extra money, considering that, you know, the robot one isn't just cardboard. There seems to be a lot going on in there. Like,
yeah, it's cardboard and string.
Sends pulleys and who the hell knows what else. Like, watching that video where they open up the backpack and there's like the three things going up and down, and like just watching that work was insane to me.
It was pretty cool. I worry about this because none of the other Toys to Life stuff have really lasted, and I worry about this from a space concern. You know, much like I don't want this fucking drum set in here anymore. I don't want these guitars and this drum set in here anymore. Please fucking get rid of this.
And it's recyclable.
You know, but when it you're is done recyclable. With it,
you can flatten it out. I mean, if you really need to, take it apart, flatten it out, or just get rid of it because it's just cardboard. And that's kind of cool. That's something I really like about this is that it is, at the end of the day, it is just cardboard, and that's kind of awesome. Like, when your kids eventually give up on it, because that's what happens with toys, you know?
Right, they will.
It will happen. By and large, your kids aren't going to play with the same things for 5 years in a row.
Right.
And so this stuff's going to go away, and the fact that it is innately disposable, I think is kind of genius. And it's also cheap for Nintendo to make. So yeah.
Win-win.
That's lots of wins all around there. And the thing I think is different about this as opposed to Toys to Life is that this isn't really a gimmick. Toys to Life is like, okay, here's a set of keys, and these keys do specific things in the games, but like you don't actually use those. You don't use Amiibo in the game. They're right. Just keys. This is the point of this is here is something you build, and then you get to play with it. It's so much more like Legos.
Yeah, I think this is going to do phenomenally well for them.
I think so too. And it being released now, again, this is something that the Game Explain guys brought up, and I completely agree. Them releasing it now, like they're releasing it in April. Mm-hmm. So it's going to have already been on the market well enough so that if it does sell like hotcakes at first, it will be restocked in time for kids to get out of school for summer.
Yep.
And then if it does indeed take off as well as I think it will, then they can release Wave 2 at Christmas.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it makes a ton of sense. It really does.
This is a really smart move. And I was wondering what Nintendo was going to have in April that was going to really be their big thing in April. And now I don't wonder that anymore because it's not for me. Like, I'm not very excited to play with it. I'm excited to do this with my kid. Like,
yeah, me too.
A lot.
I'm excited to build this stuff with my daughters. And I will be very upset if we don't at least get an Excitebike for this.
That would be really cool.
I mean,
because they did show there is the one pack has handlebars.
Yeah.
And we don't know what that's really attached to yet.
It better be attached to fucking Excitebike. Come on, Chris.
That would be awesome. I'm not going to say it wouldn't be. That would be great.
This is what needs to happen.
I mean, if Rare was still involved, I wish it was being connected more than Excitebike to like RC Pro-Am, because that would be freaking cool.
Don't you dare. To dare get my hopes up for something that cool.
It's impossible. You know, Rare is RC Pro-Am. But no,
this looks really cool. I really, really think this is going to do very, very well for them. And that makes me really happy, because what we say all the time is that we want competition. You know, we really do. And hopefully this isn't the sort of thing where Sony and Microsoft look at it and be like, well, here's our cardboard shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like that, like they did with the Wii, of like, here's our fucking waggle controller. Enjoy. You know, we're just not going to do it nearly as well. This is the most Nintendo thing possible.
It really is. Like, again, they're pretty much the only ones that could pull this off, much like the Switch.
Yeah.
You know, the other guys wouldn't have been able to pull this off.
No,
but Nintendo can do that. And they're like, yeah, we're going to package cardboard and you're going to love it, because we're going to make it awesome. We're going to make cardboard fun.
What I really like about Nintendo right now is that they seem to have gotten back to being a company of joy.
Yes.
Like, Nintendo was always joyful. You know, there was always a level of like, Miyamoto is the cheesiest fucker on the planet, but I love him for it.
Me too.
You know, I love him for it. And I am happy that he exists in the world to be like, nah, dude, like, it's just going to be fun. It's cool. You know, I bag on him all the time for like his coming out like with the Zelda shield and sword and like doing the.
She was awesome.
You know, and like doing the, like, how fucking geeked out he was at the Make Mine Music thing that they did, the melody.
Yeah, whatever. Wii Music was not a good time.
No, it wasn't, but he was having a ball. He was laughing his tits off the whole time. Like, that dude had so much fun playing that at E3. It was great.
He did.
I love that now they're actually able to execute that into something that is enjoyable for everybody else to play too.
Indeed. And I love that they're not only, so I just wrote this whole article about what the Nintendo over on the Stardust Gamer blog about what Mario Tennis Aces says about Nintendo. And really what I was pointing out is that the Mario Tennis Aces shows that Nintendo is just more confident right now than they were with the Wii U, because after the last couple of Mario Tennis games have been lambasted, and rightfully so. They've been very light on features and they haven't sold extraordinarily well. And the Nintendo of the Wii U era would be like, it's time to shelve that stuff for a long time.
Right. Let's put that away.
It's time to stick that in the vault and see what happens. Similar to what Star Fox Zero has probably done to that franchise. But again, rightfully so. Instead of shoving that in the drawer after the Mario Tennis Ultra Smash for Wii U, which was, you know, garbage, they came back and just did it right. Yeah. They had the confidence to come back and say, all right, we're not screwing around with, we don't need to hide behind gimmicks for stuff like, which is how Star Fox Zero happened. We're not trying to force something to work that doesn't actually work. We're just going to make good games for the sake of making good games.
Right.
And then they come out with this, which is like, this isn't really a gimmick. This is just a different thing you can do with your system. This is just smart. And that having the confidence to come out and say, all right, we're going to make cardboard fun. I can't not be impressed by it. I feel like Nintendo is just in such a good mode right now. And I'm sure the loss of Iwata was something that really shook up the company behind the scenes. I feel like they've come out the other side really super, super confident and super smart. And
yeah.
I think Kimishima has really done a good job of adding the business sense to, like, you know, how important the business part of it was that I think maybe Iwata lost from time to time.
Right.
You know, because he was just such a dreamer and so much into just the fun of everything. it's really just kind of pulled everything back, and they're really firing on all cylinders right now. And as much as I had questioned a bit about 2018 for them, because we still don't know a ton, we just know really what's happening up until E3, which is where I'm sure they'll start announcing what we'll see the rest of the year.
Right.
I'm now no longer really worried about that, because I think this cardboard thing is going to be huge for them. Like, I think this is really their big play for the first half of the year, and it's going to be humongous, and I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, me too. So, what you being the Nintendo fanboy, I'll let you go first. What grade do you give them?
This one's tough. This one's really tough.
Like, take your excitement about Labo out of it and being objective.
Being objective, after the year that they just had, it's hard to give them anything less than an A, but I gotta give them an A-. Because, again, they have hit me with some amazing stuff, and it seems like their headspace is in, their heads are in a really good place. And I mean, I am so happy with my Switch, and the Switch community seems to be so happy with their consoles. Like, most people are very happy that they have it, and those people are buying games, which is so different from even the Wii U, and to an extent even the 3DS. Like, yeah. and going back to the Wii, even people bought Wiis in droves, but they didn't buy games for them. People are buying games on Switch. Super Meat Boy on Switch last week on release day almost matched its initial release on Xbox 360 back in the day,
which is nuts.
That is psychotic.
That's nuts.
That is nuts. But people are buying games on the Switch, so they're doing things extraordinarily well. However, I'm still not 100% sold on their third-party support. They're still missing some stuff. Now, granted, it seems like a lot of the third parties are just playing catch-up. Things are starting to happen, but until I start seeing more concurrent releases, you know, I'm right. still waiting on Wolfenstein, which makes sense because the Switch hasn't been out long enough for it to have realistically been on Switch day and date with the other versions. But seeing as pared down versions of games like Doom and Wolfenstein prove that this kind of stuff is doable, if you just put a little effort into it and you get the right company to port it, I want to see more of the AAA stuff that the third parties are coming out with, your EAs and Activisions and whatnot, and even Ubisoft and some of their other properties. I'll feel more confident when they start securing more of that stuff, when Madden comes to this system.
Right. And the Assassin's Creed Mario Edition, which I cannot wait for.
Assassin's Creed Mario plus Rabbids Edition. I mean, like, we got NBA 2K and WWE 2K sold really well on this platform, and which is really impressive considering that WWE 2K18 was basically broken.
Oh, it's awful. I'm and so glad I never bought it.
Particularly the Switch version is broken.
That is a whole other thing.
That is
wrestling
that's
games make me sad now.
They do. But the fact that those games sold well proves that that audience is there.
Yep.
Even FIFA sold pretty well. It didn't sell as well as EA wanted, but, you know, you leave out the primary mode that sells the game.
Right.
You're probably going to get a chunk of the audience saying, well, portability isn't that important to me. So
I don't care that much.
But it seems like EA is not giving up on the platform yet. I want to see more from third parties on the Switch. And indies are great, and that is wonderful where they are with indies, but I kind of feel like indies are a very different animal from AAA third parties. Mm-hmm. And that's the area that Nintendo is still missing out on. There needs to be a phenomenal baseball game on Switch. There needs to be the rest of your sports games. Like EA and 2K, their sports lineups need to be on Switch. And 2K is already back in that. They patched a bunch of stuff in NBA 2K, and apparently it works really well now, and that's great. But that stuff needs to continue, and that's where I think Nintendo hasn't proved to me that they have those third parties on board.
Right. And that's why, like, I give it a B. Same spot as PlayStation, but for all those reasons you mentioned of that third-party support, while it appears to be there, it's not as strong as perhaps that you would like it. And my other concern is, you know, like, if I had a release date for Metroid this year, it would be an A.
True.
You know, this Labo thing looks incredible. But there is no Mario, Zelda, Metroid this year.
Yeah.
As far as we know yet.
As far as we know, and I don't think there's going to be. I don't think Prime 4 is this year. I think this year might be Pokemon.
You know, or Pokemon. I would put that up as like there. It doesn't have that pillar title.
Yeah, it doesn't have that one singular, oh my God, this is the thing. And really, there's only so many things that could be. I mean, right. It could be Animal Crossing. It could be Pokemon. It could be Animal Crossing. It could be something else entirely we don't know about. But there doesn't seem to be that one
console Pokemon game that everybody has been asking for 25 years. That's a pillar. That's a pillar the same way God of War is a pillar for Sony.
Yeah,
you know, that's what they're missing.
Is it coming this year? I don't know. Yeah, and that's why I give Sony an A and Nintendo an A-, because Sony's got every base covered.
Mm-hmm.
Sony is being the best Sony that Sony can Sony.
They are living their best life, Chris.
They really are. And Nintendo, they're just that third-party support. Like, I want to see Rockstar say that L.A. Noire did well enough that they want to do something else, that their other projects are going to come over to Switch. I mean, there's a market for, I don't know the tech specs of Red Dead. I don't know about how it would work paring that thing down, but if these other games are working in that general direction, maybe there's a way to make it happen. And there is a market for that kind of game on this platform. There absolutely is. Freaking Skyrim sold like gangbusters on Switch. I don't know why. There's a market for that kind of game on here. So
it is going to be, Chris, a hell of a year.
It is. 2018 is going to be a hell of a year for video games. Well, there we have it. That is the state of video games as told by myself and Dan.
That's right. Don't buy an Xbox.
Buy one if you want to.
Don't. Buy a PlayStation. Buy another PlayStation.
Just buy another one. Buy PlayStation TV.
I have two.
You do.
I
have several DS consoles. Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. That's it. That's our show. That's it. I'm calling away. It. Go away.
Get out of
Bye.
Here.
Bye. Forever.
No. Hate all of you.
I'm just kidding. Join us next week for the first 10, 20, 30 of 2018, where we're going to be looking at games released in January 2008, 1998, and 1988. Things are going to get more interesting.
They are. We
1988
promise.
Was more interesting than 1987, I think.
Yeah, we probably started maybe a year early, but whatever.
10, 20, 30s were fun. Anyway,
I enjoy
once it. Again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade. You can also find us on individually on Twitter. I'm @Geekade Chris, that's Geekade KRIS, and Dan is at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. Not this week. Dean. Doing it again. Thanks, Dean. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to again in the show notes. Always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for even more fresh original content. That's it. We did it. We recorded a show. Thank you for listening. And on behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.